Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome, everyone, to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm Philip Gilfus, your host, joined, as always, by my two other co-hosts, Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, how has your Star Trek week been going? Do you have your flags up?
What's that line? The Klingon flag went up across the way, and you put up the United Federation of Planets, and then there's problems in the neighborhood.
We have First Contact Day, but we don't have like Archer Day or anything. So we don't know.
Federation Day.
Or what is it in Firefly? It's like
Union Day.
Union Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not as many flags here, but I have been getting excited about Lower Decks as we've seen a poster, which is cool, with a
Weeks
big
away.
Arrow on it, guys, an arrow, because that makes it directional.
Animated.
Yeah. I like the banner, but not the arrow. It's dumb. But well, in the little video of it where they show it. Yeah. The arrow like animates and points right at the deck, and it's like, oh, that's cool. But then the actual poster, like, they animate it, but they are like, apparently they got the memo, can't cross the nacelles, guys. It's got to go around the nacelle. So it kind of goes around the nacelle and then kind of dips in, and I'm just like, no, just go. Yeah.
You know, Darren, I'm not gonna lie, did not realize it was pointing to Lower Decks. I just thought it was like,
it's literally pointing from the word Lower Decks to the lower deck. That's what the arrow is there for, but apparently it didn't even do its job.
No, I just thought, like, oh, that's the direction it's moving. I mean, it's animated. What do you want? But, well, yes, the USS... Hold on, I forget the name. I was going to say Cisneros, so that's not it. I was actually not familiar... I Googled the name, Darren, and all I got was a city in California.
Yep,
is that
what it's named? I saw that, apparently. Yeah, maybe.
It's not a person. I mean, unless Google's not working.
Yeah, no, it's... I don't know why it would be named the Cerritos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it would be named after that city. It doesn't really spark joy, I guess. No, it doesn't make me think of... I know Cerritos had like... Well, yeah. It has like a big auto mall. I remember the Cerritos Auto Square. I remember ads for that. But I don't know. I don't
Is
know
it
why.
Near L.A.?
It's...
I mean, like, I'm just trying... Like, it's an
It's
in-joke,
California,
maybe.
But... It's got a college.
Walmart, you know.
It's legit. It's a suburb of LA. It's like...
Okay. I just thought maybe that's an in-joke maybe. From
it's like slightly closer to LA than Anaheim and Disneyland are. Again, it's got to either be somebody on the team who made the show, like, live there. It's the only thing I can think of.
Because it did make me think that there's not that many starships named after places.
I mean, Cerritos, known as Derry Valley, is a suburban city of Los Angeles, California, and is one of several cities that constitutes the gateway of Southern California. Does that just mean anything? Star Trek.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
In a matter of weeks, we'll find out. We'll read the dedication plaque.
I did like Aaron Harvey, friend of the show's, idea that maybe... I mean, it's been proven not to be that, but maybe it's they took the saucer from the crashed Enterprise D and just bolted some nacelles on it, and they're like giving it new life, recycle. But it's not quite as big as an Enterprise D saucer. But
it is, and it's another one of those designs that makes you question how does this work? Like, how do people get from place to place?
Yeah.
Is it just is it just transporting a bunch?
I mean, I know it's animated. Look, the Grissom has a comeback. It's basically a Grissom-esque design.
Oh, there's Oberth class.
But, yeah, it wouldn't sting so much. Again, I'm not being negative. It's animated and it's fun. But
yeah,
honestly, the pieces that attach the saucer to the nacelles look like Lego pieces. I know the piece that it looks like. And maybe that was sitting on the person's desk when they designed it, but no. It's going
to
be fun. It's going
to
be a lot of fun.
To me, it looks like if they made that exact model and made it a little bit like bigger, it'd be a great TV tray. Because the saucer's a great tray. The nacelles are great legs. It just pulls up right to you.
I can see that.
Room for your knees. Perfect. come. But the animated series, part two, is not what we're talking about, at least not this week, because we do look forward to talking about it. But we're going to be talking about Vulcan sex. That's, I can't segue from animated. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about, Pon Farn. It seems like a random topic. But I'm always interested in things that in Star Trek, in the franchise, that keep getting re-explored. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about Harry Mudd, you know, just keep using it. And then, you know, we introduced Pon Farr with the Vulcans. I'm doing my TOS rewatch. And, you know, we had a Mock Time was the season two opener, which introduced, you know, Spock's mating cycle of Vulcans, and it opened up that idea. And, of course, if you ever have a Vulcan again, you kind of, and you have a 7-year series.
Have the obligatory Pon Farr episode.
I mean, you're sort of stuck in a corner that you can't, I mean, especially you could not address it, but people are going to ask questions. Hey, how come we never, like, even when Voyager started, I don't know if y'all can remember to the Wayback Machine, you're like, well, they're stuck. Tuvok's a Vulcan. I don't know if you all thought about that when that came up, because, you know, we famously avoided Vulcans for a while, right? Not TNG, not DS9.
True.
So. But I picked two topics, and we can either concentrate on them or use them as a jumping point. But I picked for our main Vulcan characters that aren't Spock. It's, of course, Star Trek Voyager with Lieutenant Tuvok, who I mentioned. And then, of course, Enterprise. Or Star Trek Enterprise, but I think this was Enterprise. with, of course, Sub-Commander T'Pol. So they both had Pon Farr experiences in two episodes, which I did not mean to do this, but there's an irony, because the Star Trek Voyager episode is Blood Fever, and it actually focuses on B'Elanna Torres, and we'll get to why. The other episode is Enterprise Bounty, like I said, which focuses on T'Pol, directed by Roxanne Dawson.
Really?
How did that work out, guys? I just imagine, like, Roxanne's like, come over here. So I've done this scene. What you want to do here? You know, so.
Well, and not only do we have an actress, Star Trek actress, Roxanne Dawson, directing that episode, but a Star Trek actor directed Blood Fever. That was directed by Andrew Robinson, who plays Garrick.
That's right.
You tried to choose a Tuvok episode, but it's really a it's not Tuvok.
It's Vorik.
He's different.
Ensign other Vulcan.
Speaking of Lower Decks.
Yeah, but he's got the more traditional bowl cut, so we know that he's a Vulcan.
And there's also, because this has nothing to do with anything else I'll mention up front now, there's also a guest star in the Enterprise episode. It's in the other story that we may or may not talk about. But Robert O'Reilly, guest stars in Enterprise, playing Alien, whatever.
Alien Mr. Bug-Eye.
Yeah. And infamous, of course, for playing Gowron.
I didn't realize it was him.
I want y'all to know.
Who else did he play?
Well, Darren, I'm about to get to that. I had just recently played Star Trek Online. As you all know, I do that every blue moon. And they have a Klingon theme this time. And it's because they have J.G.
Hertzler,
thank you. And Robert O'Reilly on for some
features. Just like late night Star Trek Las Vegas, right there, those two.
And so J.G. plays Martok, because this is set in the, I guess you would say, Picard time. I was going to say present time. Picard, you know, of Star Trek Online. But Robert O'Reilly plays another Klingon.
Okay, because Gowron's dead at that point, because Worf killed him.
But he says the line, and Darren, I know they did it because of you. He does say, it's a throwaway. It's a complete throwaway, and I knew it. They did it just for you. He, like, does something, and right before he beams out, he's like, experience, beesh. And he beams out, and I'm like, oh, no. They did it. He does.
You're joking. Oh my god!
That's like the best thing I've heard all day.
Y'all would have heard it, man. But I was just
that's
like,
"Ah." So it, you know, that just proves it, that Captain Kavok is his long lost twin, identical brother or something.
Yeah.
Do Klingons have twins? That would be crazy. I don't think we've ever seen Klingons twins, but
Lursa sisters. I don't know if they're
Well, I mean identical. I mean identical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're sorority, because but let's go into this. And so let's go in sort of timeline order of Enterprise. So I don't know.
This was the B story. But it's actually more the C story, but I guess, you know.
So for those who haven't watched this episode, as Darren said, it's not the main story, but, you know, they've come up from an alien planet. Phlox stops T'Pol and says, hey, you got a virus, you know, so you're stuck in the decon chamber with me. And then basically the virus, the mysterious virus, that basically triggers her Ponfar. And so she goes Ponfari, Plaktawi, they don't say that. But anyway, and then the hijinks ensue. So, I don't know. So, but you know, I'll give no pre things to this. So, Daniel, what'd you think of how they handled T'Pol's Ponfar? Because, I mean, theoretically, she could have had it any time during the series. It didn't last 7 years, spoilers. But anyway, what did you think about having to do T'Pol?
So, real quick, before we even... I'm going to give you an out, Philip, if you want just an easy way to just wrap this thing up real quick. I watched both of these episodes with my girlfriend, and she said... She goes, oh, I like how neither of them get to have sex when they're just, like, obviously out of... They're inhibited. But,
right.
She goes, I don't like how none of them get... Nobody gets lucky in these episodes. So...
Yeah, it's a... And not to... You know, not to get serious, but, you know, in the age of consent, obviously, if only it was always the age of consent, but we're particularly aware of it now, which we should have always been. But you watching these episodes, I do think about, like, oh, okay. If anyway, go ahead, Dave.
So, yeah, it's interesting because, and I'm kind of shocked that this was directed by, oh, my God.
Roxanne.
What's her first name? I'm not going to think of her last name.
Roxanne.
Thank you. I would have sworn this was especially, like, the sexy parts, which are kind of cringy, like, directed by some middle-aged old dude.
Well, it doesn't mean she wrote it.
No, I get it. I get it. I know.
In the script, it says midriff and short
and
shorts.
For the
that's
what
it says.
I don't, yeah. It's okay. The Ponfar stuff is kind of silly to me in general. And Jolene does a well enough job with it. And so her and Phlox are kind of an interesting pair, too. Whereas, like, in the Voyager episode we'll talk about, it actually progresses that relationship forward.
Right. It's actually the beginning of that relationship.
Yeah, it's like, here it's like, oh, it's just your doctor, and you're just that desperate. And that's kind of fun and interesting for a little bit. But it seems to drag a bit for me for the whole thing. But I get it. And like you said, you kind of have to address it. I don't know if this is the most interesting way to do it, but it works.
See, it was okay. It was way more, I guess it made me think of the episodes later where she's dealing with that, like, Trillium or something. Detox, which was way more interesting. Like, so having your character be fallible and have them dealing with something like that, that was a way more interesting story arc than this. This felt like, oh yeah, that thing on the planet, did the thing, so now it's Ponfar. It's like, but just be happy you're not Tuvix, because that sometimes happens, or you get shrunk down to rascals. Like, apparently, you know, it's very dangerous. But it C story. I mean, yes, it's technically the B story, but as far as like, it feels like a blip in this episode. I mean, the episode's called Bounty. It's about the bounty. It has nothing to do with the Ponfar.
Introduces Tellarites, and which, by the way, are not very Tellarite. We're not going to talk about that story, but I was like, shouldn't they be arguing more? It doesn't matter. But anyway.
That's a specious stereotype, Philip, and I won't have
literally
it
say it in the episode, they never
hang on,
show it.
Real quick, just because it bothered me, they said when they're introducing the Tellarites, they're like, in Tellarite society, it's a sport for them to argue. I'm like, that's the same way in America, not in American, but human society. We have debate teams and stuff like that. It's so different. That's the same sort of thing. Anyways, but
I should like wear
Daniel,
equipment.
It's okay.
Like Precy squares.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
So I guess watching it, and I don't know if this is a criticism, I guess that's how it's going to sound like, but because this was the prism of the topic that I just made you all think about, was, you know, how do they handle it? Are they going to add details to what we know about Vulcan, you know, mating, and this is a female Vulcan. Does that change anything compared to the male Vulcan that we see with Spock? But then as I watch it, I'm like, is this supposed to be funny or is it dramatic? Like, I don't think they were making it funny, but like, I don't know. I guess the same time you do sex, it's kind of like, oh, it's all funny, huh? But I'm like, I don't know. She's in real pain here. I like, you know, this is like literally a matter of life and death. And so I don't. I maybe they walked the line successfully, and maybe that's why I struggled. It's like, well, it's not. They're not doing it funny, but they're not doing it like, you know. I don't know. What would you all think?
I mean, I would have made it where is it? It's not only like debilitating, but it's more like. Think of like the episodes where Data just like went nuts and took over the Enterprise. Like that was a really cool episode. So I'd rather see her like snap where she's just like, this is one thing I want. And so she like disappears into the crawl spaces and is like causing havoc because she, you know, is just, she's super smart because she's always been smart, but now she's unreasonable.
I think the problem with that is, and I was thinking the same thing, like, when she was trying to get out, and when she did get out, I was like, and kind of what you were going with, Philip, like, the tone, where do you want to go with it? If you push it too far, you have, like, a crew member that's, like, getting really rapey, like, is, like, literally going to get their way no matter what, especially someone like,
yeah,
like her, who she's stronger than everybody else on the ship, and like, how do you resolve that? Like, if you make her into like some sort of a crazy predator during this period, how do you come back from that? Like, it's weird. Like you say, Philip, it's kind of a strange balancing act. Where is it supposed to be funny and cutesy? Is it supposed to be scary and like really high stakes? And I feel like they didn't really want to go one way or the other, and they just settled in the okay.
And watching both these episodes, and I don't know, it's a critique, I suppose. And this is not just this. It's a lot of stories where we'll see two different series approach a concept, and they seem very similar. Because, like, there's literal lines that are the same in both episodes. Like, oh, I've seen the way you've looked at me. T'Pol says that to Reed. B'Elanna says that to Tom. You know, there was a little sort of... Because, like, Spock, having watched Amok Time fairly recently, you know, he just sort of shuts down. Well, he, like, throws soup at Nurse Chapel. But, I mean, so emotional outburst and then just staying within himself and just... And so I was kind of thinking, like, with T'Pol, maybe that being a gender difference or sex difference, whatever the right word is that maybe there's a difference. Like, how does a woman, Vulcan woman, and they just seem to do the same thing. I was like, oh, lost opportunity just to make it different. I don't know, you know. Maybe, I don't know. And I also, I don't know what to do with this, guys, with T'Pol, sexy T'Pol. Am I reading too much into it, or is it, are they trying?
No,
because like, go ahead.
It's cringy. It's like hard to watch. Like I said, cause it's not even like we'll talk about the Voyager one and I like the sexiness in that episode comes out of the relationship between the two characters that you care about. And that is actually interesting, and like you're like, okay, you're rooting for it. Here it's just like, it's the same thing they do every time they go in that damn blue room, and they just like close-ups of Jolene's body and stuff, like real creepy, like real weird, like, and you're like, it's not even sexiness done well. It's just cheap and cheesy, and it just doesn't feel right. I just didn't like it at all.
Because I didn't know what to go with it. So I'm like, how much am I projecting of myself? You know, she's to me a very attractive woman. But how much is the episode just that's what it's doing? Like, in other words, you know, they show Phlox, you know, with the lotion. Is it just because he's, you know, maybe not as a, you know, heavier alien?
Dad bod.
And so, like, they're showing the same thing. I mean, he's not wearing a bare midriff, and then he's not wearing short shorts. But, you know, he's rubbing stuff on his skin. They're showing close-ups of that. They're showing hers. So is it different? I mean, I don't know. I was just like, obviously they're trying to do sexy Vulcan, but maybe that's just me projecting it on her. I don't know. Because I think that's the whole thing with the series. But like, Waylock, you know, I know she came from the model industry, but she's, you know, trying to be an actor here, trying to show a character. It doesn't necessarily have to just focus on that.
Yeah, but if you're going to focus on that, like if you're going to do Pon Farr and you're going to focus on her sexuality for the episode, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you don't add any substance behind it and it's all just literally just close-ups of her body, like really long pans and like, or she's like laying on the ground and you're like still like looking at her butt. It's like weird. It's not sexy. I don't think it's just creepy. It's more creepy to me.
Well, and like I said, I mean, especially when we compare it to the other episode, which I think handled Ponfar way better and in a really interesting way. So this one, it's like, okay, you're going to deal with Ponfar, but you're going to make it like a C-level, you know, story. It just felt tacked on, and it's like not really... If you're going to do it, go for it and make it like a big part of the episode and make it interesting. It just... You know, like you said, Philip, it was just kind of checking the box of, oh, yeah, we've had our Vulcan Ponfar episode.
Stop asking us about it. I just wanted a few additional things as far as around. Maybe I want to go further, but the decon thing, Daniel, with you and what you said about the decon chamber is true. But on one hand, you know, with Enterprise, you know, we can argue about what prequel, but it's a prequel, so. That there you go. But I do like the thought that, like, we have to do this old school decon. I mean, the concept I kind of like. Now, of course, they always try to make it sexy lotion time, and I guess that's where it falls apart. But I just like that idea of, like, we just came from a planet. We just don't magically scan you. We got to sit here for a while. There's going to be a few hours. And I was just like, it's just a little technique. I was like, I like that we're kind of like level one, you know, space exploration. So, And then introducing the shyness factor to Phlox, which, you know, this isn't the Denobulan sex episode. That's a whole other thing. but I mean, they were trying, of course, to introduce that. Obviously, T'Pol is going to be full on, and he's going to be. But I don't know if they really. They sort of said and not showed, you know, with that. I don't know, because he wasn't like. He was about. If they had never said that the Denobulan males are shy about sex. The episode would have been the same, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was just him basically just recognizing that she was out of her mind and she, mm-hmm. you know, she couldn't, she was totally, totally unreasonable and not herself. So, and I think he thought that that would be inappropriate. Although, I guess it doesn't track because he does have relationships later on with people who he is their doctor, but that's okay.
Yeah, because they said something about, like, I mean, whatever. I'm not trying to culture whatever the Denobulans, but, like, he said, like, you know, problem with nudity or with being around nakedness and, you know, made a problem with the Starfleet medical exam. I'm like, how do you give exam? Well, I guess you all have scanners now. I guess you don't actually have to be. Anyway, it just made me wonder, how do you do your doctoring then? I don't know, but I guess in the 22nd century, things are a little bit different. And then this was just. Just for me, at the end, when T'Pol escapes, and they all had to, like, come with their spacesuits, and, like, she is not wearing her mask, guys. She's just going everywhere, not wearing her mask.
That was a little interesting slice when, like, when Phlox was talking about, oh, you'll contaminate all of D-Deck and E-Deck, and it's like, and, like, you can't go out there, and I'm like, oh, hey, we know what quarantine's like now. This is first-hand experience now.
Yeah, and they're wearing spacesuits, just like an E.T., where that's what apparently you wear when you go to a quarantine area, a spacesuit.
Yeah, we've all seen them in real life, right? No, that's okay. All right. Well, and then do you got, if, you know, so you have that we're going to do a T'Pol B story, Ponfar. Is it too obvious to use Trip? Because obviously we're going to do this in the next, what we're going to talk about later. Because, like, I, for some reason in my mind, I had thought Trip was going to have a thing. Or, you know, there's going to be some sort of confrontation, you know, with him and T'Pol. But he just, like, he barely registers in this episode of, like, you know, y'all want some food? And then that's the extent of his episode, you know. Or for this story part, anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was just, like, just introducing, like, the totally... platonic character versus a potential mate. I don't know. Would you all have done that differently, or is it just maybe do Phlox better? Because obviously they're the two aliens of the group, but they didn't really play that up that much.
I think Phlox is the best choice in terms of the Enterprise crew. I just don't think it was handled super great. I think he has the most potential for interesting sort of, you know, conflict and resolution, but almost everybody else just ends up being,
I don't know, there's Hoshi or Travis.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Travis would be really weird. Hoshi would be,
because we don't know anything about him, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, so moving on to Voyager episode Blood Fever. So this is the whole episode, is Ponfar. And I think it's an interesting twist, and as much as you may or may not agree, is that you have Ensign Vork, who is not Ensign Torek. He's not. He's a different character, guys.
They're on different ships. But Ensign, how could they be the same character?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's in engineering, which is not as low of a deck. It doesn't matter. Okay. But anyway, so he's hitting Ponfar, and he goes for Taurus. And she says, no, thank you. He, I guess, unknowingly attacks her and touches her around, and then basically telepathically Ponfars her, I guess. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
She basically goes down on a planet, and Ponfars out on the planet. And then her and Tom are stuck in a situation, and then it's basically her and Tom instead of T'Pol and Phlox. And we go from there. So, I don't know. Darren, what'd you think of Blood Fever and Vork / Taurus?
I thought you were going to say Torek, but way better episode. Just really dealt with it in an interesting way. I think, like you were saying, these episodes are not about Spock, and so to see it in a different way, it's also very different than Enterprise, where... they're stuck out there. So what's their plan? And, you know, the Doctor actually comes up with a pretty ingenious idea with the holodeck of like, well, just the holographic woman is totally the same thing. And I'll write a paper about it. Never mind. No paper.
Can we just address that? Because it's a real big stickler. I'm just like, in 250 years, nobody has figured this out yet. Like, I get it. Definitely during Enterprise makes sense. And then obviously we've established during TOS, fine. That's been established for a long, long time.
But other times where there's only one Vulcan on a
right.
ship.
You can't fight against it. But in the intervening 100 years, nobody else has figured this out. No Vulcan has ever come out and talked about it. What about those emotional Vulcans? It's so silly to me that this entire... And like when they get...
The logic extremists.
They are logic extremists.
And like... It's so frustrating because they're like, oh, it's so silly. Like even when the Doctor is like, I find Vulcan attitudes about sex like positively Victorian. It's like, no, like it wouldn't be. These people know this happens to them. I get that they lose their,
and they know when it's going to happen. Like they're like, I mean, like you're saying, like I'm stationed on this ship, but as long as I go back to Vulcan in 5 years, I'm good. You know.
It's silly.
Well, I was going to talk about that later, but we can talk about because in both episodes, they talk about this is a secret. We don't talk about it with outsiders and blah, blah, blah. And like you said, I can deal with Enterprise. But with the Doctor, you're telling me the Doctor who has the entire knowledge of the Starfleet medical database, he basically says, I'm paraphrasing, the symptoms, but we have no idea what it is. Like, really? Are there no Vulcans that... Now... I mean, like, so, like, even a Vulcan doctors, I'm sure they're Vulcan doctors, have never, ever, because I'm sure he's not just Starfleet. I mean, you know, other papers. And so I find it hard to believe it's that secret anymore.
Yeah, they're just,
well, yeah.
I can get that it's a stigma, that or whatever, that's probably not the right word, to talk about it. And that's why Tuvok and Vork have awkward conversation. And that's fine. I mean, I get that, whatever, to each culture their own. But just, like, the biology
weird. Should
be known.
Yeah. Like, that the Federation's not like, hey, Vulcans, you're a founding member of our society.
Why do you disappear every 7 years and suddenly have a wife?
But let's not include anything in our medical database about this ailment that strickens you from service every 7 years. Like, yeah.
No, every single Vulcan in Starfleet...
requests shore leave every 7 years.
So that's not clear, but obviously it can't be the case that everybody's Ponfar aligns, right? Or is that what we're meant to
think? I think if you're two Vulcans that work together,
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Like, sorry, I'm, you know, as of today, I'm 5 years out. Oh, I'm 3 years out. Well, sorry. It's just...
I guess they
although,
really figure...
It's never made clear.
Although, I mean, if you think about it, though, they're not saying that they can't have sex any other time. Right. They just have to.
Yes.
But they're...
How apart are Tuvok's children?
That's... But do we? This was something I forgot to look up. But we do see Tuvok in his Ponfar later on in the series. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he actually uses the
holographic option
for his wife, right? He substitutes his wife.
Yeah. Right. Because their ears are like a couple millimeters too short or
but
something.
But what happens here? Yeah. Does Torek or Vorek, does he just lie and not use it? Does he turn it off when the doctor comes?
That's true. He says he uses
left
it.
Left of the viewer.
But then later he goes nuts and disables all the systems and beams down to the planet. So obviously, even if he did, it didn't work enough. I don't know.
Well, and I find it interesting, and I'm sure this is what y'all wanted to talk about, but I find it interesting from a biological perspective that, because my question, I have some questions, because like Star Trek 3 threw me off a little bit about how Ponfar works. Is that I think when I watched Star Trek 3, because, I was a young age when I watched it, because I watched the movies before I watched the TV series instead of, but, subsequent viewings that Savick, if you remember, Spock's growing up in various ages and she's with, young Spock and she's like, oh, you're experiencing Ponfar and it does the finger thing. But like, I never wrote the whole thing that basically we're supposed to imply that she just had sex with him there on the Genesis planet. So, I'm not trying to, but it's basically
that's true.
Right, what happened, so, which is odd. I don't know. It's not my culture, but I have questions about how that worked. But anyway, and she's just a very giving person then, I guess. She's like, oh, obviously you need to not die, so let me help you out here. But anyway, all that said, when does it start? Because both Vorek and T'Pol say this their first time. Now, T'Pol's has been accelerated, so I'm like, when does it start? Like,
that's true. When does Vulcan puberty kick in?
We know T'Pol is quite old at this point.
Well, and she's older than Spock looked like on the Genesis planet.
Yeah, and I can get maybe men and women are different, but still.
No, you would think that it would happen much, much younger. I think that they were both too old for this to be their first time. And honestly, it doesn't even add anything. It doesn't add anything because Torak could have just been like, he wouldn't admit it. So that doesn't push that forward anyways. And T'Pol could have been just like, I don't know why I'm having these symptoms. This is not supposed to be happening to me right now. So either way, they're both denying it anyways. It's the medical professional who comes up to them and be like, oh, that's what this is. So I don't know. There's no point for them saying it's their first time. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Earth. Their years are different, presumably. I don't know. So using my Earth math, I'm like, what, 21, 28?
You would think it would be younger than that. I mean, you would, right?
They have arranged marriages, so
sexual maturity.
And Spock. I mean, and then also, is it? And the answer is we don't know. My question is it the same person? Like, in other words, if the drive every 7 years is to return to your home planet, which, I mean, there's issues there. Can you always go home to your home planet? Is there a court? Yeah. But then is it just your spouse, mate, whatever word they want to use? Because, with the Amok time, it's said that they have a prearranged marriage, which, there you go, I guess. And, as children, you're telepathically engaged, I guess, or whatever. And then maybe that's what happens, Darren, the whole cycle thing, when you're telepathically, engaged as children, you get on the same time or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's true, and you do have arranged marriages, so maybe you are arranged with someone who's in sync with you?
But then how does that work? Because I guess, Torek says, or Vork, see, I'm doing it again. not even on purpose. But Vork says he has a person at home. I don't know if they're married. He just has his person.
And he says he assumes that they think he's dead and they've found another.
But T'Pol, I know she went through the married divorce thing already. I forget what her status is during this episode. But anyway, well, let's talk about Torres. How do y'all think they handled B'Elanna Torres going Ponfar Klingon style?
I think it's interesting. I think part of it kind of feels a little bit like, okay, I don't care what the equation looks like, but at the end of it, B'Elanna Torres has to want Tom. So what if the Vulcan, not Tuvok, is experiencing Ponfar and mind meld. Brilliant. Sci-fi. It works. Let's do it. It kind of feels a little bit like that. But
should we use Tuvok? No, we're saving that one. We're gonna do something with Tuvok. Let's save it. Let's not use that one. They didn't use it.
But yeah, no. But I liked the story. I think they handled it really well, and the scenes with Tom are really good.
Well, I like that. Having watched Bounty first, and because it's the whole, you know, in both episodes, the male and the female, and the female's, you know, the Ponfar-er, the male is the Ponfar-e. And they're both like, no, thanks, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be that person. No. But I forgot, they go pretty far in Voyager. Like, Tom is like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, like, by the end of the episode, Lieutenant Tuvok has to have given Lieutenant Paris the weirdest order he's ever gotten in his life. Basically, like, so, if you can take care of that, Chakotay and I will step a respectable distance away now. You know, and like, this is happening. So, I mean, like, they're engaging up pretty far then before it's like, oh, wait a minute. Actually, they don't even wait a minute. So that's when Vork comes in. So they were going to go there. So I just thought that was interesting how far they went there. But I also thought it was interesting how they also played with it, not only making it Torres, but also going back to ritual combat. I love the beginning of the episode of Tuvok.
My ritual combat. It's the only way now. It's the only option left on the table. Really? That's the only option, Tuvok? Yes.
Which I love the Tuvokian.
It's like no, let them fight.
But I love the Tuvok exposition. Well, there's only three things that can happen, and three things only. Number one is, you know, sex. That's not going to happen, everyone. It's a family show. Number two is combat. Number three is deep meditation. I just want to stress that number two does not apply to this situation. And then he winks, and then the scene moves on.
Yeah, pretty much. But what did you think of how they handled, like, the caves and all that, Daniel?
You know, like you said, it's a bit of a contrivance that ends up in B'Elanna. Like, I get it, and it works. It's all Star Trek stuff, and it's all pre-established Star Trek stuff. So they use they use the canvas pretty well. So I bought it. It was fine, and I thought it was interesting. I just want to mention the cave people who just, like, appear out of nowhere. Which, like, shocked me.
Hi! Where? What are you doing in our living room? What?
The episode doesn't spend any time on them, so we shouldn't either. But I just wanted to bring up the fact that they just show up off out of the walls.
They do.
I don't remember them.
This is the other episode, right? Like, you don't. This is day five of shooting. You don't need to be here just yet. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I can't remember the character's name from Hunger Games, like the cake guy who, like, decorates himself as a swamp during Hunger Games. But anyway, is that Peter or not Peter? I can't remember. But anyway, so yeah, it's because then they had the weapons that were also camouflaged which I thought was very helpful.
But anyways, the part that I was annoyed about that whole thing, Philip, with them when they were like, oh, ritualistic combat or sex or meditation. And it's like, me and my human mind, and I get that this is humans, I'm like, there are other options, guys. When Borek said he was going to go lock himself in his quarters and take care of the situation, I'm like, guys, there's just other options. There's just other things that people can do to take care of the situation. And then, like, when the doctor was like, and you mentioned it earlier, Darren, when the doctor's like, we can use the holodeck. And you're like, duh. Looks like it's just like a really heightened sexual desire. And anything to relieve that frustration.
Like, is there something about Vulcan biology where they'll know and it won't work? Yeah. Like, that doesn't... I've not picked that up, but...
And then, I mean, why does the hologram, presumably, we don't know, we're inventing our own story, why does it not work for Vorik? But does work later for Tuvok.
For Torvik. I mean,
was it his wife?
I think
Tuvok's wife.
I think it's or, he.
One's a bridge crew, one's an ensign. Obviously, that's the difference.
Lower decks. Yeah, it's different.
I think this is why I asked the question earlier. I don't think he used the hologram. I think he put it on pause, and then called the doctor back in 20 minutes later, and because he was formulating in his mind, I'm going to go down there and win her back because he is still all emotional.
Yeah,
and I think that's the only thing that makes sense because, again. Any, like, rational, logical person would be like, okay, do what you got to do, man. Like, to take care of the situation. Like, at the end, when Tuvok is like, she's going to die. You could just have sex with her, and it's, like, not the end of the world. She won't be dead. There you go. And so it's, like, it seems like a pretty easy problem to fix.
Yeah, we're not going to go there because we're not doctors, and we also don't want to go there. But, like, I'm watching both these episodes, I'm like, what's going to do it? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, and so, because, you know, we were dealing with both men and women because you had T'Pol and then you had... I'm like, what's going on here? that was my question too, Daniel, because they started to get really specific about, like, and I'm like, okay, is it this or that or that? Or what's exactly that? Anyway, we don't have to go there. What'd you think of the B'Elanna and Tom Paris of it all, as far as that relationship? That we know eventually ends in marriage and family and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a really good way to develop that story. It shows the respect that Tom has for B'Elanna, you know, even when she's not obviously in her own head. And I think it allows them to kind of get some of that tension out there where he's like, obviously, you know, I've been chasing you for a while and all this sort of stuff. I think it's really effective for relationship building for them. And I think that's the best part of the episode, especially the end when they're in the turbo lift. That was fun. They're cute little.
Oh, be careful what you wish for. You're like, okay.
Because he was, you know, I mean, like, to be fair, he was put in a pretty tough situation, and he was quite gallant. He was acting in her best interest, so.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, you go with Shy Phlox and the other one, and you have Tom Paris, who's, you know,
the ladies' cat. Man
yeah,
of Star Trek,
you know,
or Voyager.
Not known for saying no, we'll put it that way. And so it's interesting to see, I mean, I think it's very good writing and acting about, because Paris is playing with it. He's like, yes, but no. But yes, but I'm not going
to. I know, when she's like, don't you find me attractive? It's like, no. Yeah,
but I did very much think of, and, you know, we don't have to go explore this that much, like I said, but like a very, like, you know, alcohol, consent, and, like, you know, the person saying yes, yes, and you're like,
but you know she's
you
not in her right mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so, you know, so. But I thought that was done very well, I thought.
That's true.
Anyway.
At the end of the day, you have a show with an episode that shows a friend not taking advantage of their friend because they know they're not in their right mind. Like, in itself, like, that's great. Like, we need more of that.
Mm-hmm. In not until given a direct order by his character. But it was like a weird, he's like, go ahead, and we're going to walk away. And I was like, this is weird.
I will say, on that same vein, I do think that consent is the king of all here. And we're just mentioning that. But I also think in the 24th century, sex is not nearly shamed as much.
That's true.
Unless you're
they,
big,
they don't really go in that.
It's a big of a deal. So I think in a lot of these cases, again, it would just be a case of, like, listen, man, I need this situation to be resolved. And then you're just a buddy, and you're like, okay, sure, I'll help out. But anyways, that's not where we are now, and of course Star Trek is a reflection of our values, so we kind of need to see. And they handled it really well, that sort of stuff. So.
And I'd forgotten the line, and I think there's a lot to the line. At the end, like you said with the turbo lift, where Tom's like, I saw the big bad Klingon part, and you know what? It wasn't that big and bad. Which, because that's always been, you know, towards his chip on her shoulder, and so I thought that I forgot that
can't get close to anybody because, you know, they're going to see this side of me that I don't want them to see.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought it was done well.
Boom! Before you know it, they're watching TV episodes.
I will say another thing that I really appreciated about the episode was a lot of times when we're discovering or rediscovering these alien culture parts of other people, there's...
Oh, I thought you were going to say aliens. Like, and they're there!
You know, like,
sorry, alien
just
culture.
Having Vorek and, like, him going through the experience, but then we had, like, an older, wizened, same species, someone there to help guide them and also kind of navigate that situation. And I liked that because a lot of times, like you said... Like, it's just the one alien. It's just, the one Klingon that has to go through all of these war rituals by himself. But, like, if you had someone else, it you kind of build up the culture and the camaraderie between the characters. So I really like...
That's why in DS9, like, Martok and Worf was a great pairing because you had, like, two Klingons, and two Klingons are better than one, you know, because, you know, you have Worf going through issues, and Martok can be the seasoned veteran to help him, you know, especially with command decisions and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, maybe less lone alien encounters where we don't get to see as much. I mean, even the Ferengi episodes often have multiple Ferengi, and you see a lot of interaction going on there, or family dynamics. So all that to say, more aliens are better. I mean, yeah, like Saru, you know, it's another example, yeah. You know, him interacting with his society.
Because I think the, you know, in as much as we know, the human society is very diverse. You know, aliens on Trek are very... Romulans look like this. Klingons look like this. Well, now we know Klingons look very different ways.
Now we know that Romulans have different regions.
That's
and,
right. You know,
foreheads.
Some are Irish. But anyway, but that's all to say, you know, it's like you said, if you have more than one Vulcan on a ship, you can be like, oh, they're kind of different. Some are like this, some are like that. Like you said, with the Klingons, you know, Worf is a little more stoic than Klingons who drink and laugh and joke and tell stories and sing. But anyway, but so were you, of course, I think Tuvok was not the most helpful. Vulcan's more like, no, it's like, you know about this? The doctor's like, you know about this? Yeah, I'm not helping you. That's not. But anyway, but he eventually helps in the end there. So with, I felt like there was kind of a crisis at the end. I mean, not really. You know, they just needed the mineral to the warp core. It wasn't like an emergency, but I felt like they had a mission and they're like, hold on. Let's do ritual combat here. For just if we could just hold on for a second, and like Tuvok just like, you know, has like the chalk and he just marks off real quick, and you know, go. And it's like Chakotay's like, what the? I don't know how I'm going to write this up when I get home.
So this is totally off topic, but there are some things that keep certain species out of the Federation, and I wonder if ritualistic combat would disqualify you from Federation membership.
That's why they...
I feel like that might be one of those things that maybe, like, if you haven't moved past that, maybe you shouldn't be... But anyways, that's fine. I guess it's like a once in 7 years clause.
So now the Federation charter is getting written up, and they're like, okay, but here's the byline, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, Tellarites, you're good. Okay, no. Do any of these following five things apply? No? No? Okay.
Not this year.
Okay, Vulcans?
Not this year.
Vulcans? For me and my species, now, no. They don't apply. Check the box.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, secret listening posts. That's what I'm saying. Secret listening posts is on the list, and all those Vulcans.
Do you think that, I don't, man, we can go into Vulcans just in and of themselves, but like, do you think that inhibits Vulcans being used in other series? You know, because if you have a Vulcan in Discovery, if you have a Vulcan in Picard, or if you have a Vulcan in Lower Decks, and you have it for more than, they're like, oh, we got to do a Pon Par episode, don't we?
I don't think so. I mean, well, think of like Picard, there's actually, I mean, of the main crew, except for Seven being part Borg, they're all human.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a lot of aliens.
You obviously forgot about the Romulan on the ship, Darren. He had a very big
part.
But
he's not on the ship, though. He's not part of the ship crew.
He was kind of supposed to be on
the
ship.
He knocked on the glass. Or no, he threw a rock at it, so I guess he wasn't on the ship. But.
Well, that's true. That's true.
No, I don't think... Honestly, what I think you do... Like, say that they put a Vulcan in Lower Decks. I don't know. Do we know anything about the crew in Lower Decks? I know that like, we know the voice actors and stuff.
I know what they look like. There's one that kind of looks like a half... who has some artificial elements to him.
But anyways, if like say they put one in there, or whatever, like whatever, Strange New World. Strange New Worlds, I guess, would be different, because that's before Spock. But anyways.
No, he's literally on the
bridge. Well, no. Yeah, you know what I mean. this would be his mid-Pon Far time.
Too young.
I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to do something new, and you would just downplay it. You would just be like... Mm-hmm. You have your...
He's going to destroy leave. It's a kid's show.
No big deal. No big deal. He's
Spock shuttle.
He's like, in a week, I need to go take care of something, man. Is that cool if I just take this week off? And it's fine, yeah. And then nothing happens. And then that's...
I have to change my marital status when I get back. It's, we'll talk later. It's
on Facebook.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a lot from Vulcan 6. So sorry to throw that at everyone. But it's not, again, you know, you have Vulcans. We introduced the concept. And so, you know. They keep going to the to it, because that's part of the species. So, all right. Well, Darren, if folks want to talk to you, where can they find you? Darren has two children. Just throwing that out there.
7 years apart.
They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And then Daniel, if folks want to find you, I know you're a little young, that's why you don't have any children. Where can they find you?
That's not why I don't have any kids, but that does not matter. You can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That is the number one and not the word.
And if folks want to contact me, but not next year, you can't contact me next year. It's, it doesn't matter why. You can find me at NC Public Servant. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.